Hello again from Sprott Money News at SprottMoney.com. Oh my gosh, it's now March. We are already almost 20% done with 2024. I'm not sure where the time goes, but I do know it's time to visit with Chris Vermeulen again. This is your monthly precious metals projection podcast. I'm your host, Craig Hemke, and joining us is Chris Vermeulen of thetechnicaltraders.com. Chris, it's always good to see you, my friend.
Same here, Craig. Always a pleasure.
At least it's springtime. I guess that's the bright side, but holy cow, the sand is passing through the hourglass. It is already March. So anyway, let's get underway. I want to remind everybody as we begin, though, this content is always brought to you by Sprott Money, free of charge. You get to just watch it. But you should thank them for putting this content on the internet for you. Next time you're in the market for a physical precious metal, which should be like now, I suppose, the way things are moving, make sure you visit Sprott Money. Or you can always call them at 888-861-0775. You can see that number right there at the top of the page. Always great deals at Sprott Money. They'll store the precious metal for you as well. If you're ever interested in converting your retirement accounts to physical precious metal, Sprott Money can help you with that too, whether it's an RRSP in Canada or an IRA in the U.S. Sprott Money, your one-stop destination for all things precious metal. Thank them for this content by stopping by their site today. Chris, what a month we've had. I say what a month. What a week we've had. We're recording this on Wednesday. I don't even know what today is now at this point.
March 6th.
It was just 1 week ago today. The GDX was down below 26. The GDX has rallied 14% in a week. Gold has moved up to new all-time highs. Silver's looking better. It has been quite a sea change in the last couple of weeks. From a 30,000-foot picture, I know you're watching these markets every single day. You've got your best assets now, the worst assets now. How does everything look for you, you know, as you look across all markets?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up the best and the worst assets. I mean, it was only just a few days ago, miners were testing these lows. They were hated. Everybody was getting panicky. I got a lot of emails from people wondering what to do with their positions in gold. People were starting to give up on it. And, you know, GDX and SILJ, both of them were almost at the very bottom of our best asset now. They're more or less the worst asset now. And now they're rebounding. They are actually still near the bottom of our list. If we actually take a look at the hot list, we have SILJ down near the bottom, and we've got GDX has popped up beyond the halfway point. So it's interesting how they can have one big pop. They can go from bottom of the pile, and I have a feeling they could be up near the top of the pile over the next month or two and become actually one of the best market leaders here. So, I mean, we're seeing a big pop in gold miners. I've been talking about how gold has got this beautiful bullish chart pattern. And with gold breaking out and metals and miners being more or less hated and people panicking and at support, we're primed and ready, I think, for a fairly significant rally in gold and silver and miners. And miners are still struggling to get into an uptrend. They're just starting. We're still in a bounce phase, an oversold bounce, but it could be the start of something very, very exciting.
Well, let's get back to that chart in a minute. Let's look at the general equities markets, what appears to be certainly not an interest in value. It's all about growth. And, you know, if you're not doubling your money in a week or two, you're really missing out. You know, I like to joke that, you know, they talk about fear and greed in the market. The only fear right now is a fear of missing out. And it's been that way for quite some time. You know, whether it is NVIDIA, whether that's reflected in something like Bitcoin, where do you see the markets in general?
Yeah. So the last time you and I talked, I was hoping, actually it might've been a couple of times ago, but I was hoping the S&P 500 was going to break to new all-time highs, because that is going to get all the people on the sidelines who were scared to get in, or people who haven't been involved in the markets. When the S&P 500 hits new all-time highs, I believe it's going to create that FOMO you just mentioned, Craig, where people finally feel like they're missing out. They have to get in. They're getting left behind on a new bull market. And so we've seen that, and we're starting to see that take place. NVIDIA also has the whole AI side of it, but people are piling into NVIDIA. It has gone just blasted higher. And we have really the general public who really have never even, a lot of them haven't even traded stocks, are piling in to this. I know people buying NVIDIA with their phone, transferring money over with the whatever Simply Wealth or whatever those online apps are, buying their first shares ever. And they're buying NVIDIA. And we can see that in the price action. When we start to get huge gaps, when we get price going up, we got increased volume, this is telling us we're getting the FOMO. People are piling in and they're in risk on mode. They're like, I want to make money. I'm jumping on this train, even though the train left the station a long, long time ago. They're jumping on just as I, you know, I think we're getting up into nosebleed kind of bubble popping territory going forward. So we can see that very similar type of price action in Bitcoin. Bitcoin has rocketed up, hit some new all-time highs, and it even poked to a new all-time high yesterday and then got slammed with some selling. This is a pretty bearish sign when the market gaps open, runs up, hits a new high, and then gets slammed down and closes below the previous session. That is a bearish engulfing candle. That usually means it's temporarily topped and we could see it move down for a few bars. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. When we look at it from a bigger picture, we can go and see these other highs and how, you know, we're definitely up in that parabolic nosebleed section. People are in risk on mode, willing to step in and try to make a bunch of money really quick. And it'll be interesting to see how this pans out, because typically when the general public piles in all at the same time and stuff has gone straight up, it can end very abruptly. So
yes,
we're definitely at that kind of turning, getting close to, I think, a key turning point here.
How do you fight the urge not to short it? You know, I look at like that NVIDIA and it's going parabolic. And so, you know, at some point, you know, it's going to have a sharp pullback, but and so you want to buy some puts, but at the same time, I wanted to buy puts a week ago.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. How do you manage that, I guess, emotion of wanting to take the opposite side?
Yeah. I mean, to me, the safer way is to let the bubble inflate. If you're not in it now, I feel like it's a pure gamble. You've got to really, it's more of a momentum play. You get in it, you try and squeeze some out. If it starts to roll over, you got to get out. So I'd more so let it go up to where it's going to go. Eventually, there's going to be a huge crack to the downside, and then it'll probably create some type of topping phase. And then I would be more inclined to take an inverse play as it starts to break down and picks up.
Yeah.
So I'm not about trying to pick the top. I'd rather let the damage be done, let the momentum have shifted, and then try and take advantage of the downward move. So that's kind of where I would kind of look at stuff. Like you and I talked about this a while ago. We grabbed NVIDIA from the low. We used Fibonacci extension up to the high and we carried it forward. We talked about how there was this upside target. We had the pause at 618. And if we pause at 618 for a few days, we typically go up and hit that 100% measured move. We hit that. And now we are in what I believe is kind of that bubble territory. We've taken this massive pattern and we've maxed it out. And now we're blowing past it. The general public is getting sucked in. FOMO buying is going on. We got gaps on the chart, lots of volume. So to me, it's, I know people are long it, they're super bullish. People will say, oh, I'm always bearish. But the reality is, like, you know, the signs are there that it's probably getting a little exhausted, or at least there isn't a new upside target to pick from. So it's kind of, we need to pause or pull back to kind of recalibrate.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it. It'd be fun to talk about it next month.
Yeah.
When we do our next precious metals projection. Let's turn to the metals, because like I said, things, so much have changed in a week. Mind blowing to me still after doing this as long as I have from a week ago, you know, and people mad because gold's not going anywhere and there's no open interest and it's just going sideways. Then all of a sudden you string a couple good days together and everybody's to the moon. It's going to 3,000, you know, and it's, come on. That's not how it typically works. Though the chart, I'm sure, is instructive as you look at it. You and I have talked a lot about this range that gold has been in for better part of 3.5 years. It's finally now busting out of that range and moving to new all-time highs. My experience has always been, anytime you get a new all-time high, like you said with NVIDIA, you get this rush of, okay, now it's time to get in because of the positive headlines and everything. So I would imagine there's still some more upside in gold here.
Yeah.
But when you look at the chart, what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of upside still. This is a very, very nice chart pattern. If we look at it from a few different angles, we have a nice multi-wave rally up. Gold consolidated in this kind of pennant or bull flag pattern, whatever you want to call it. And it is pointing to higher pricing. So if we look at Fibonacci extension using these kind of conservative levels here, we can get an idea of where gold should go over the next, this is the daily charts, over the next probably a couple of weeks. We are coming up to this 618. Almost always, if we hit 618 and pause or pull back, even just for a day or two, if it finds that as resistance, we naturally are going to go up and hit that 100% measured move. So based on this bull flag pattern, it is pointing to 2250, 2300, somewhere in that range. But we are coming up to this spike high in futures we saw a few months ago. It's also the 618 level. So there is, I have no doubt we're probably going to see some type of volatility or pause here, mm-hmm. little pullback, which is a good thing. We needed to take a breather because something that just goes straight up usually comes right. straight back down for a good chunk of it. So a little pause will be very good, but I do see it going up to, you know, 2250, 2300, just based on this smaller chart pattern, which really is nothing like the monthly. When we look at the monthly chart. Please.
Yeah. Extend that out and do one of those deals on that.
Yeah. So if we do, there's a few different levels here. We could take the ultimate low. We can take this high and this pullback. This will give us the next target, which brings us, believe it or not, the 100% measured move that we just measured on the shorter time frame is the 618 of this other one. So
again,
so that'll be naturally, it runs out of steam. If it takes a little bit of a pause and pullback, then we're probably going up to 2600, 2700. And then if we go back and we look at the major lows that we saw back in early 2000 and go to the bigger bull flag, this will carry it forward.
Same thing.
Brings us over. So we hit the 618 on this mega chart pattern. We've paused and pulled back, which means we're probably going up to hit the 100%, which is 2700. So we're definitely, you know, right now we're flirting with a 100% and two 618 retracements. This is a very strong level. But then we're going up to 2,700 more or less. So that's kind of like it in a nutshell. I do think it'll go a lot higher than that, I think, eventually. But overall, that, you know, we're really just working our way up these momentum moves based on the momentum and investors in the market. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, we've been waiting for gold to break out. I do believe if we go into a bear market in a recession in the economy, I do think we'll see gold and silver pull back. Like maybe gold rallies to 2300, hits that first 100% measured move. Then maybe it pulls back for several months and flags out sideways while the bear market and the recession hit. And then it picks up speed and runs up to those 200% moves to the upside. That's the scenario I see. Or maybe gold pulls back even more after that, back down to where, you know, back down to maybe the 2000, 2100 level. But overall, all of the chart time frames from the multi-year to the, you know, the shorter time frame right down to the daily chart are pointing to higher pricing. So
it's and the same levels. That's what's amazing. I've been telling people on my site, you know, this has been a great move. I don't want to chase, though. You know, I'm not this to the moon kind of type. That's just not the way this market operates, right? You get this ebbs and flows and the spec money rushes in and then it kind of runs out and it washes back, and you know, we call that kind of a spec wash and rinse. We're probably due for something like that. You get these steps higher. To me, what you've laid out, I'll watch 2150. And when the time comes we get through there, I will then jump on board again and look for that move to 23 and then 27. That all seems to make a lot of sense. Chris, let's translate that to silver, though, because, again, a lot of people pulling their hair out. Silver's got a lot of work it's got to do.
For sure.
As you and I have discussed, we all want it to break out of its own range, which would mean a move over 28. But I mean, it's got to get above 26 before it can even talk about 28. You take it from there. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, silver, definitely a much uglier chart. It's more volatile. not a huge fan of it. It is definitely, it hasn't changed a lot from our last conversation. More or less, it's kind of carved out a little bit of a bottom through here. You could argue there's a launch pad. It kind of busted through it, and it's digesting. Mm-hmm. The market stage is digesting investors, and I do believe eventually it will take off. But I mean, we could see silver really take off, maybe back up to this 30 level. It's a previous resistance area. It's right through the heart of this consolidation through here. Yep. And really, it would bring us right up to a major resistance area. It'll actually be interesting if we throw a Fibonacci extension on here real quick, just to see what that momentum is showing. So if we kind of take these lows through here, mm-hmm. go up to this high and down here, it is showing that we could potentially push 2,800, which brings us into the, or sorry, $28, yep. brings us into these highs and these lows right over here. And then if it takes a bit of a pause, then we actually see it go to the upper end of this range, yep. up at that 34. So there's some really interesting potential. And I was going to show this in gold. It's the same in silver, though, is we had like a multi-year consolidation just before the stock market put in a top. And at that last little bit, as the stock market was just pushing higher and eventually started to roll over, we saw gold, silver, and miners rally. As one of, they were the strongest sector. And then we saw a big pullback. And I believe we're in the same scenario. We have a much larger, or you could say we got a multi-year consolidation or even bigger one here. Mm-hmm. But I think we could see silver and gold and miners run up here until the stock market tops. And even after the stock market tops for another few weeks or a couple of months, gold, silver, and miners can actually keep pushing higher. And to me, the start of this run in precious metals is actually one of the biggest warning signs telling me that I think the stock market and the economy is very close to finally putting in a top and rolling over. So I'm excited for all of this stuff to happen. I do want a recession. I do want a market correction in stocks, because it's going to create a whole new opportunity to profit from falling markets. It'll also eventually give us reset the precious metal space after this run for, I think will be one of the last opportunities to get in before we probably see $50 silver. We see, $2,700, $3,500 gold. So there's a lot of interesting price action coming. So we are in a sweet spot for precious metals and miners to come to life right now. And it's pretty exciting. We're starting to see that.
Chris, let's wrap up our March projections here with the GDX. We'll use that ETF as a proxy for the mining sector. It's not the best. It's 13% weighted toward Newmont, which
isn't doing so well.
Which is, lower than it was 20 years ago. So, that kind of skews, this as a proxy. But nonetheless, hey, something caught my eye. You're zooming in on it right there. Look at that. 1 week ago, I think it was 1 week ago today, that Wednesday. Look at that island reversal down there. Little double bottom. And then, look at the second one. Look at that little island gap down and then gap back up.
Yeah.
And we've been rolling ever since. Back above or battling its 200-day moving average as we speak. It's difficult not to chase, right? Especially when this thing is still under $30. What are some levels for people to watch if they want to start employing some money to the sector?
Yeah, I think depending on, it really comes down to depending on your strategy, right? Are you like a short-term momentum trader? Do you want to, swing trade it and hopefully try and play something that lasts several months and maybe takes us way, way higher? Right now we're seeing gold and silver miners. They were the worst assets on our list. They've had a very strong pop. We've seen some banking issues in the States. So money's flocked to gold. It's flocked to miners. It's flocked to Bitcoin as a different alternate currency. So right now, the miners are pushing up. Right now, this is an oversold bounce, a knee-jerk reaction bounce. If it can hold its ground and hold its value or keep pushing higher, I think it will kick into a more of an uptrend. But there's way using cycle analysis. I think there's some very good plays. We're long GDX in the market from right down over here. We're seeing a very nice bounce. I think a pause or pullback here will actually be very, very powerful, because we really have a key pivot point through this chart. If we just draw a line through here, we've got a series of highs. We have a series of lows. We got pivot lows. We got price gaps and really just a lot of noise through here. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see this put in some type of pause and consolidation, which if it puts in a pause here, I mean, it'll be very, that'll work off some of this kind of short-term overbought, and then it's ready to rip up probably to $32, $34 in price. So it's got a nice sharp price action. It's the same with SILJ. I think we just need to let this bounce have a little bit of a breather. We're coming up into a resistance area. Let this first move, I call this this is a momentum move. We've got a previous high here. And on silver, the next high is actually still over here. But gold miners, if I just flip back and try not to make everybody too dizzy here, we've got a high right here, and we've got this high over here. When you break two previous standout highs, that means the momentum has shifted. We just busted through two resistance area, and the first pause after that is usually the perfect opportunity to take things even higher. If you're trading with cycles and support levels, for example, you know, we got long in GDX down near the lows, SILJ, we actually got long right down over here as well, which is already screaming higher. So support levels and cycles together can give you an opportunity, you know, to try and get in on these, because I believe this is going to be a very significant run in precious metals. And so we just need to see this short term, you know, 10% bounce. Little bit of a pause will re-energize it to take probably another 10% rally. So I really like the whole precious metal space is starting to come to life.
Well, Parz, I can tell you this has been very helpful for me. All of this makes great sense and has given me levels to watch. So I would assume everybody else watching has really greatly benefited from this too. As we wrap up, I remind everybody what you do on a daily basis at the Technical Traders in case they want to join you there.
Yeah, if they go to the Technical Traders, you can copy all the trades that I do with my ETF strategy. And so more or less, I just put on trades on more or less indexes and short-term or bonds and currencies, which is a slower. It's for managing larger amounts of capital for consistent growth. I also focus on the gold and oil guy, which are momentum trading signals for gold, silver miners, Bitcoin, the VIX, the SP 500, which is actually some of these signals that I was just talking to you were long GDX, gold, silver miners, uranium, all these different plays. So, you know, we're back into that commodity space where I think we're ready for a very big run. And so there's a couple different ways people can take advantage of what I do.
Great stuff, Chris. And I thank you for so freely sharing all of that with everybody here on these Sprott Money channels. And on our way out, again, as a reminder, everybody, it is now March. There's going to be a lot more content coming at you from Sprott Money over the course of this month, whether it's weekly articles from people like David Brady. I write something every week too, but we'll have the other podcast, the Ask the Expert, the monthly wrap up. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of it, make sure you hit like or subscribe. Sign up for the Sprott Money newsletter so that you get notified every single time something is posted, and then you won't be behind the curve in getting caught up with all the information. So make sure you like or subscribe to Sprott Money, whatever channel you've been watching this, and you'll be sure you'll always be up to date. Chris, thanks so much for your time. This has been extremely valuable, and I look forward to talking to you next month and see where we are.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, Craig.
And from all of us at SproutMoney.com, thanks for watching. Again, keep your eye on this channel for some more content coming up in the next few days.